Good morning, church. It's great to see each one here this morning. We do have some that are unable to be with us today, but it's grateful for the presence of each one. We have some visitors, and we certainly welcome you and get acquainted before you get away. We've got a mighty pretty start for a new week. Hope everybody can enjoy the day and the fellowship one with the other here as we meet here in the Lord's house. As we begin our service this morning, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for this opportunity that's been afforded to us to come together upon this first day of the week, that we can come commune around your table, that we can remember the sacrifice that was given for each of us. Again, we ask to be with those that are unable to be with us today and watch over those that are traveling and those that are ill. Be with those that's in places of confinement. Be with those who look after them on an hourly and daily basis. Be with our song leader this morning and be with Michael as he brings a lesson to us today. Be with each of us that we might listen attentively and gain from the words, the prayers that are uttered here this morning. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Let's sing this song together and stand with me, please.
I stand to praise you, but I fall to my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame and make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. I feel your arms around me as the power of your healing begins. Your spirit moves right through me like a mighty rushing wind. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame and make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again.
Be seated, please. This next song we're singing, it's a simple song, but it's got a pretty powerful message. Everlasting God.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago, a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God. He is alive, in him we live, and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Secure his life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find. For God alone does understand. There is a God. He is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree, A life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set man free, and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live, and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am.
I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible. In the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. Let's pray. God, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for giving us a place to worship you, a family to worship with. Thank you for making us yours. Thank you for always giving us everything we need. We pray that we worship in a manner pleasing to you. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, is my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. O Lord God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven or earth below. O Lord God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven above. O Lord God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven or earth below. O Lord, God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven above. You keep your covenant of love, your covenant of love. O Lord, there is no God like you in heaven above. O Lord, God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven or earth below. O Lord, God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven above. You keep your covenant of love, your covenant of love. O Lord, there is no God like you in heaven above. You keep your covenant of love, your covenant of love. O Lord, there is no God like you in heaven above. I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine no Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And He rules my life. Jesus is my Lord. He will come again. He will come again, and He'll take me home. He will come again, for I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine no more.
All right. We are here to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in doing so, a lot of times we get up here and we concentrate on the suffering and the pain and the agony they went through, which is extremely important. But I think we forget to concentrate on the celebration of it, the redemption we have in it. So I want to read today from Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. I think that pretty much sums up the celebration right there. I love that scripture. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for this bread that we take, this flesh that we get to be a part of your body. We thank you for allowing us this opportunity to remember what you went through and the pain and the suffering and the death on the cross and the humiliation and all of that as you bore the sins of the world, not just of the time that you were in, but from the beginning to now. We thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to celebrate the fact that you came out of that tomb on the third day. We thank you for allowing us to celebrate the fact that we get to live with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for the cleansing power that it has. We thank you for washing us in it, and we thank you for removing the stains of our sins with that. We pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, as we take this blood, takes it with a proper heart, Lord. We pray, Lord, that they just remember as they take it what's been done for them, the forgiveness that they've received in their life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for breaking our hearts. We thank you for healing us, and we thank you for filling us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, we come to you again, and we're thankful for the opportunity for us to be able to contribute to the work that goes on here. Lord, we just read that all things are made through your Son and for your Son. And Lord, we pray that you accept us as we give what we can. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the Bible, the Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the Bible. All right, let's stand as we sing this next song together. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption songs someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim towards the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour.
pilgrim land. Protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Please be seated.
Church, it's good to see you today. It's good to see you. I want you to see a verse in 1 John chapter 4. As we come into a new chapter of all the fun that we've been dancing with for a while now, what we've seen and what we find is really a malaise that people have entered into, that daily doses of fear and negativity affect us. And when I say affect us, I mean all of us, believers and non-believers alike. And it is going to be an interesting chapter. Many would like to say a chapter back of getting us back to normal. And church, God has never called, well, He doesn't call us back. He calls us forward to Him. And one of the things that I believe will prove disappointing is that so many people are looking for that moment. That whatever it is, that thing, that announcement, that switch, that thing where everyone says, okay, it's okay, it's all okay, it's not coming. There's not going to be a great announcement in which, boom, fear is over. The virus is over. It's all done. That's not coming. And through all of this, the changes that have happened in here, because the external changes, that's just facts. But the changes that happen in here, this is my concern, my prayer for you, and what I want you to be prepared for and to be able to live through. And so in here, John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. This is not something I can do for you. This is not a switch that I can flip for you. This is me and you and us proclaiming and believing and living the faith that God has given us. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so this morning, church, as we go through the scripture, we are going to see and be encouraged that when God's people make the proper preparations, God shows up. God shows up. And more than anything, I believe we want God to show up. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together today. It is our confession together in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died for our sins, who was raised for our justification. Father, we've spent the last couple weeks taking a look at Jesus' life and Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. And the good news of the gospel will never grow old to us because it is our hope. And Father, today as we take a look at what happened after the resurrection, I pray, Lord, I pray for your people. I pray for our family here at Sunrise. I pray, Lord, that all of us will hold on to and truly believe that you are greater than the one in the world. I pray, Lord, that each and every day we are giving your scripture as much time as our newsfeed. I pray, Lord, that every day we are giving your good news as much time as our social media. I pray, Lord, that your people will understand what we allow in, what we put into our hearts, shapes us and forms us. And we have been bought with a price, and we are now the temple of the true and living God. I pray, Father, that we be so filled with you that there is room for nothing else. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The day had finally arrived in Israel. All of the plans that had been made and all of the construction, all the permits, everything had been complete. And the Lord's temple is done. And the ark of his presence has been brought in. And everyone is there. And Solomon has finished his dedication. He said amen to the prayer. And everyone is anxious to see if the Lord will show up. I mean, you build a house for him. Day after day, you're building and preparing and bringing materials together and each and every day encouraging yourself and encouraging those around you that we are building this house for God and we just want him to come and live there. And so it's all done. And Solomon stands in front of all the people and he says, "This is the house of the Lord." And everyone is just waiting to see. Waiting to see, waiting to feel, waiting to know, will the Lord come and fill his house? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1. As soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And go down to verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David your father, saying you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. Show up, he did. God shows up. The house is built and the people are ready and God shows up. Fire came down from heaven. The entire sacrifice was consumed and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I love that part in there, and I think it's so powerful. The priests couldn't even go in. The house was so filled with God, there was no room for the priests to go in. There's really no need for the priests to go in. God was there. And worship is the natural response. Worship is the natural response as God's people recognize His presence and they fall face down. They worship Him, they praise Him. Why? Because He is good. I think it's kind of funny how many people fall for the lie. And how many of us, not overtly, but allow the lie to sneak in? We connect our circumstances or our struggles to God's character. Isn't that funny that God gets blamed on a regular basis for the ills of the world? I mean, it's a natural progression because when you take away the existence of sin, you got to blame somebody. And so the creator of all things, the only one that is actually good, gets the blame for all the bad so that man will no longer have to face his own sin. And you don't think the enemy's clever? Yeah, he's pretty good. When there is pestilence or famine, when bad things are happening, God says, humble yourself, pray to me, seek my face, and turn away from your evil. Whenever these bad things happen, we don't turn away from God. We don't turn away from the solution. We don't leave His presence. We run to His presence with a humble heart. We run to His presence and make the confession that God is the only one that can save us. There's not going to be another person that can save us. There's not going to be another institution that can save us. God alone is our Savior. And He promises, if my people will do these things, if my people will trust me enough to run back to me, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Last week we saw Jesus' last Passover in the flesh as He died on the cross, as His body was buried. And as he was raised again from the dead. And after that Passover came Pentecost. After that Passover came Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, again, we find God's people waiting together in anticipation. Because Jesus has said, look everybody, I've done all these things. Death could not hold me. It really is me. I'm going back to the Father, but I need you to wait. I need you to wait in anticipation because I am going to show up. I'm going to show up. And so in Acts chapter 2, let's turn over there. In Acts chapter 2, something happens. Something close enough actually to 2 Chronicles 7 that everyone should have recognized it, but just different enough to know that God is going to show up in ways that you do not expect. That's powerful. That's powerful. And so with this story of the temple being built and fire coming down from heaven and the Lord's presence filling, His glory filling the temple, here are the believers in Acts chapter 2. They've all gathered together and they're praying and they are sharing everything and they are just waiting for God to show up. And in Acts 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were a bunch of people in town for this high holy holiday. And they witness what's going on as the disciples are filled with the Spirit, as the tongues of fire are resting above their heads, and everyone is hearing the good news in their own language. And all these devoutful people, devout enough to make the journey, to show up, all these devoutful people look around to one another, and in verse 11, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? But others mocked, said they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God shows up. And again, it is so much like His glory filling the temple from 2 Chronicles 7, and yet it is just different enough to see that God has ushered in this new age that He has promised. That instead of His building being filled with His glory, His fire comes down and the mighty wind fills the room that they are in, and His Holy Spirit fills the individual believer. And so God's presence is among them all, and each of them as living, breathing, walking, talking temple of the living God are now filled with His presence. How can this not be better? How can this not be the amazing promise fulfilled of Jesus when He says, it's better that I go away? It's better that I go back to my Father's side, because I will send you the Helper. We will not leave you alone, ever. We will not desert you. Do not fear, only believe. God calls us to believe. But I can't see it. I can't see it. God doesn't call you to see. He calls you to believe. But everything around me seems to be negative and horrible and bad and going in an even worse direction. God calls you to believe. His promises are never broken. It does not matter how dark the night gets. It does not matter how painful and uncomfortable and different it seems. God calls us to believe. Well, how can we do this? How can we not fall victim to everything that's going on around us? How can we possibly have hearts filled with praise and raise our voices in triumph and victory with all that's going on around us? How can we believe? You see, Peter says that God's power, His signs, will be evident. And salvation will be given to all who call upon His name. God is good. God is good. This is what happens after the resurrection of Jesus. This is what happens. God's promise from long ago that He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. That He would bring His presence into our lives. Look, church, you came here this morning with God present. We sit here today worshiping with God present. You will go to school or to work tomorrow with God present. Will you choose to believe or will you ignore Him? What will we choose? Because He does give us a choice. He does give us a choice. He is present, and yet you can ignore. We know people that ignore Him all the time. We know people that ignore His salvation all the time. We know those that have not called upon His name, those that do not believe that He is real because He can't be seen. Hey, if you want some evidence about the power of things unseen, the evidence is overwhelming. God knows that things unseen can change the world. God needs us to believe. But you know what they'll think about us? Do you know what they'll say about us? Do you know how they'll treat us? He does. He does. But He also knows that He rewards those of faith. He also knows that He takes care of those who trust Him. Ben read for us from Hebrews chapter 6, and I'd like to go back there. Hebrews chapter 6. Because we're given in this chapter, two warnings. He says, look, in Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to move on. We're going to move on from elementary things. It doesn't mean that they're not important, but we're going to move toward something. We're going to move forward. We're going to move toward something. And we're given two warnings here. We want, church, I want us to hear these warnings. And I want us to be mindful of them each and every day. Hebrews chapter 6, Ben read for us first six chapters. And warning number one is, you're in danger of falling away. You're in danger of falling away. Don't do it. Don't do it. How can I be in danger of falling away? Well, it's impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, shared in the Holy Spirit, tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them once again to repentance. They're crucifying Jesus all over again. And you and I comfortably here this morning read those verses and say, yeah, I'd known some people like that. They said they were believers. They believed in the word, and yet now they've fallen away. And church, I think that you and I become so familiar with some things that we don't actually read what God's word says. I think you and I are very quick to say, they believe the word and now they don't, so they can't be restored. What about the second half of that warning? Verse 5 says it all. Tasted the word of God and the powers of the age to come. It is not just those that are in danger with, I once was a Christian. I used to go to church, but now, I don't believe. The Hebrews says falling away, it's not just a danger of just becoming someone who says, the word of God is no longer true, but does not trust the powers of the age to come. Well, you and I can sit here and still be safe within our confessed beliefs. But are we trusting the power of God in this new age? We do know that on Judgment Day, lots of people are going to be surprised, shocked even. Wait, what? Jesus said so himself. He said, I'm going to separate you. And those that aren't allowed to be in his presence said, but we told everybody about you. We preached about you. We did all these things. He said, I don't even know you. I tried, but you wouldn't let me. We're not even close. Well, sure, we're close. I know the chapters and I know the verses and I know your word. Perhaps there's more. The power of the age to come. Peter told everybody in Acts chapter 2, hey, what you're witnessing, this is what God is doing. What you are actually seeing is God's invisible attributes come and fill this place, and now he has made his home with us. So what do we do with it? How do we carry it? Church, we carry the presence of God with us. Well, how do I know? Well, he told you what the fruit looked like, right? How do you know what kind of tree it is? You look at the fruit. How do you know what kind of flower that is? You look at the fruit. Right? That's how it's identified. So when the world looks at us, what fruit do they see? What fruit do they find? What did Jesus do to the fig tree that didn't have any fruit? You're done. You're not going to have another chance to bear another piece of fruit. You're done. Wasn't my season. The reality and the power of the presence of God in our lives is seen in the fruit that is produced. So are we walking with love? Are our hearts filled with joy? Are we patient with those who don't have the same opinions as us? Are we at peace with our Creator and our fellow man? Do we have long suffering? Or are we just ready to move on and leave others behind? Are we living lives of righteousness? Are we striving each and every day to be more like Jesus? Are we being faithful? Are we trusting him in all things? Hebrews chapter 6 offers a second warning. We'll continue. Verse 7. Land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it's cultivated receives a blessing. See, produce the fruit, you receive the blessing. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it's worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. Now, buckle up, because here comes warning two. And you're here this morning, so I think it's safe to assume that you are not the ones in danger of falling away. But listen up. Verse 11. We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. The second warning, church, that we received this morning is, do not be lazy in your faith. We can't be lazy in our faith. Do not become sluggish, ho-hum, unproductive, barren. Because if we do, we are worthless and near being cursed. Its end is to be destroyed. Church, we have got to have full assurance and faithful till the end. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I'll be the first to admit, in whatever ways it's happened to me, it's happened to you, this last year has made us sluggish. It just has. And the way it's made me sluggish may have been different than the way it's made you sluggish. But something big has happened. Something big has happened. And again, there's not going to be a switch that we're going to be able to throw and say, well, look, Pentecost. There's the sign. The sign's already been given. The sign's already been given. The challenge then is, will we be faithful? Faithful till the end. Will we trust God? Will we hold on to Him? Will we run to Him in times of trouble and humble our hearts and confess our sins and pray to Him? Or will we just drift further away? See, the enemy doesn't fight you right here. Because those of us that know Him, we would recognize Him in an instant. But the enemy's craftier than that. Quiet and plotting. And just trying to pull us away from the flock. Get us on our own. And if we can be away from the word and the fellowship and the communion of the body, if we can be separated from the strength in numbers, well, then he can start. Did God really say, you really think that's what he means? You really think that's the answer? You really think he's taking care of you? How's all that going for you? It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. I would yell it if I thought it would do any good. You know I have the volume for it. But I don't want to scare you or annoy you. I want to be that alarm on your cell phone that just quietly ding, 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 ding. Do, 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 it's morning time. You know that one that just makes you wake up with a smile on your face? And, oh, it's a good day. Okay, let's go. So I'll leave you with this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, who no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. He will show up. He always has. He's promised it again. We must be ready. We must not be sluggish. We must not fall away. We must not forget the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. We must not deny the power of the ages to come, or God's demonstration by the Holy Spirit to not only cause those amazing fruits to grow into our lives, but to work in the lives and hearts of unbelievers as they too see the truth of the gospel. We got to believe it. We got to live it. We got to trust it. And we got to hold on to it. If you're keeping score, and your scorecard's probably pretty full by now, if you're keeping score, there's been some falling away this past year. There's been some trust in other things. There's been some misplaced faith. There's been some fear. There's been some worry. There's been some agitation. There's been a physical distance between us imposed upon that has caused a spiritual space between us. There's been some fuzzy edges that kind of bristle. It's happened. It's happened. The best we can do is look at it honestly. Look at it honestly, because I have to look at myself honestly. You have to look at yourself honestly. Are we trusting God's power? Are we trusting man's word? And if nothing else, what we should at least have come away from the last year is not the power of man, but the impotence of man. True power is only in God. And God's power has been poured out on those who believe him. That's how you walk this week. That's how you live this week. That is how you claim the victory this week. Because our power won't cut it. But his power changes the world. If you need to respond to the good news this morning, we invite you to do so. Everybody else? Grow a garden. Spiritual garden. Because he's coming for the harvest. He's coming for a basket full. So let's make sure it's there. Let's stand together and sing.
When the night is falling and the day is done, I can hear you calling, come, I will come, while you night surrounds me, all my dreams undone. I can hear you calling, come, I will come, while you sing over me. When the night would hide my way, I will listen until I hear you say, how I love you, child, I love you. How I love you, child, I love you. How I love you. How I love you. How I love you, child, I love you. How I love you, child, I love you. How I love you. When this life is over and the race is run, I will hear you calling, come, I will come, while you sing over me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This life is over and the race is run, I will hear you calling, come, I will come, while you sing
please.
I don't know of any specific announcements. I understand Gary Cash is still without his voice. Is he here? Oh. He just left. Okay. Can he speak?
He's getting better.
Getting better. So my joke about John the Baptist's father is not appropriate to tell at the moment, I suppose. And understand that Fern Bigham is under the weather this morning. We have others. We always need to remember Rebecca Vickers, of course, and perhaps others. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to call on you under all circumstances. We pray for those of us, our number, who are sick and who are apart from us. We pray that we will all search out your face and that we will all call upon you for our salvation. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.